you are at work in our lives. You've promised you would never abandon us and you would never forsake us. And we just welcome you, Lord, and we invite your work in our hearts this morning. I pray now as we look into your word, I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts, help us to go deeper in our walk with you because of our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can have a seat if you're not already seated. If you're sitting, then go ahead and stand up. I'm just kidding. I need to apologize. I'm not going to preach in my sock feet today because I don't want my feet full of slivers. So you might call that a lack of commitment. I call it wisdom. So today I'm going to try to convince you to do something that a lot of people don't do. I'm going to try to convince you to pray and to do that every day. Now, a lot of people say, well, I do pray. I already do that. I pray before I eat that God will bless my food. I pray when I travel for a safe trip. I pray for God to bless my business and make me successful. I pray when bad things happen and ask God to help me through those times. And those are good things to pray for. It's important to pray for those things. But today I want to encourage us to see prayer as more than that. To see prayer as more than an occasional conversation with God about things we need or problems we're facing, but instead, that we see prayer as an everyday, ongoing conversation with the one who Jesus invites us to call our Father in heaven. I think a lot of people have misunderstood what prayer is really all about. There's kind of two opposite extremes of how many people view prayer. One idea of prayer is that some people see prayer in this way. God is a vending machine and prayer is the coin, right? And the goal of prayer is to try to convince God to do what I want him to do for me. In fact, they did a survey a few years ago and they asked people, when you pray, what do you pray for? Like, what is it that motivates you to pray and to ask God for things? What do you typically pray for when you do pray? Here's some of the responses they got. The number one response, 21% of those who responded to that question said, when I pray, it's because I just bought a lottery ticket. And my prayer is that God will help me to win the lottery. That was the number one answer to that question. 21% said, I pray because I want to win the lottery. 14% said, when I pray, it's because I don't want anybody to find out that thing that I did. That thing that I did that I know I shouldn't have done, I did it in secret and hopefully nobody saw it. My prayer is, please God, don't let anybody discover that I did that thing. 14% said, that's what I pray for whenever I pray. 13% said, when I pray, the reason I pray is because I want my team to win. Whether it's football, baseball, hockey, basketball, that's what motivates me to pray. 13% said, when I pray, it's because I want my team to win. Now, I'm just going to point out, since it's football season, there are some people God answers that prayer six times. Other people God only answers that prayer one time. Let's move on. So 7% said that when I pray, here's what motivates me to pray. I was driving faster than I should have, and I saw that cruiser tucked back away in there, and I see them starting to pull out. So please, God, don't let me get pulled over. Let them pull over the guy behind me instead, right? How many of you have prayed that prayer? Dozens of times, hundreds of times. Let me just go on record and say that prayer has never worked for me. Every time I prayed that prayer, God has completely ignored every word of that prayer for me. I don't know about you, but for me, that's been my experience. Another 7% said, when I pray, here's what I'm praying for. I pulled in, I need to go to the store, I need to go to the grocery store, whatever. The parking lot is jam-packed, it's raining, I'm in a hurry. I just need to run in and grab a couple of things. Please, God, let somebody back out of that closest parking spot. Let me get a close spot, please, in Jesus' name, amen, right? 7% said, when I pray, that's what motivates me to pray. And then here's my favorite one. 5% say when they pray, here's what they pray for. They pray that that annoying coworker is going to get fired. That's what they're praying for. When I pray, that's what drives me to prayer. I pray that that guy is going to get fired. Maybe we've misunderstood what prayer is all about. Like, if that's the stuff that we're talking to the God of creation about, we may have missed the point of prayer. So some people look at prayer in that way, that prayer is a vending machine, right? We're trying to get God to do something for us. Kind of the opposite end of the spectrum is the person that sees prayer in this way, that prayer is a religious obligation. People that look at prayer and say, well, prayer is this spiritual duty that I must perform. And it's kind of a drag. Nobody enjoys it. Nobody really wants to do it. But I better do it or else God's going to be mad. I'm going to feel guilty. So I better pray, right? It's kind of a thing that nobody looks forward to, but we feel like we have to. And that's what motivates us. For a lot of people, that's how they view prayer. And for people that see prayer in that way, typically the idea is that when we do pray, we have to do it in a certain way, right? We've got to close our eyes like really tight. We've got to bow our heads and fold our hands. And we have to pray these long, drawn-out prayers. We've got to use all these really long, spiritual-sounding words that nobody can pronounce. They came out of the Bible somewhere. Nobody really knows what they mean anyways. But we have to include them to prove to God how spiritual and how smart we are. And that's kind of the idea of the person that sees prayer as this obligation that I have to do or else. I want to suggest today that instead of looking at prayer as a coin for a divine vending machine, or looking at prayer as something we have to do or else God's going to be angry with us, that instead we look at prayer as an amazing invitation. That we get to talk to the God of the universe. Just think about this. I mean, we're talking to the God who created galaxies. They tell us that there are hundreds of billions of galaxies floating around out there in this universe, and all of them are filled with hundreds of billions of planets and stars that absolutely dwarf the size of our sun, and they're out there, and our minds can't begin to comprehend how massive some of these things are and how far away they are, the distances. It's just, we can't begin to wrap our minds around how huge this universe is, and yet the Bible tells us that God created all of that with a word. God just said, "Let there be light," and there it was. That's how powerful God is. And as massive as this universe is, the Bible says that God holds it in the palm of his hands, and there are billions and billions of stars. The Bible says God knows them and he calls them out by name. And that God invites us to talk with him because you matter to him. Have you ever thought about what God thinks of you? Have you ever asked that question? What does God think of me? How does God view me? Here's part of the answer to that. In Ephesians 2, the Bible says you are his masterpiece. Think about that word masterpiece. A masterpiece isn't just something you throw together, right? If you're an artist, you know what a masterpiece is. It's that thing that, it's the pinnacle of your creation. It's the height of your creativity. It's the best thing you've ever made. You poured yourself into it. You invested your time, your talent, your passion, your energy into it. You look at it and there's a sense of pride because this thing that I created, this is amazing. God says you are his masterpiece. David tells us in Psalm 139, he says, before I was even born, he said, God, you knit me together in my mother's womb. God shaped and formed every one of us before we were born. And David says, even then, you knew me. That's amazing. That before you were born, God knew you. He knew how tall you would be and what color hair you would have and your favorite kind of food and your personality and your sense of humor. God knew all of that about you even before you were born. He knows every detail of your life. In fact, Jesus said in the New Testament, the very hairs of your head are numbered. That's weird when you think about it, isn't it? Anyone here know the number of hairs you have on your head? If you do, you have too much time on your hands. You need to get a hobby or a job or something, right? Like, has anybody ever thought about that? I know as men, we start thinking about, okay, there's fewer there, and that kind of bothers me, but we don't, like, get up every morning and count them, right? That's ridiculous. Like, nobody does that except maybe Matt does. Okay, thank you. So normal people don't do that, right? That is a compliment. That's a compliment, just so you know. So we don't do that, right? Like, think about that. Why does that matter to God? Why does God say, I know the number of hairs you have on your head? I never think about that. That doesn't matter to me. I don't care about it at all. But here's what that tells me. If God knows something about me that I don't know, that I never think about, that I don't care about, then he must also know the stuff about me that I think about a lot. The stuff that keeps me awake at night. The stuff I worry about and stress over and try to figure out and try to find a solution. If God knows something about me that has no significance to me whatsoever, then God must also know the stuff about me that is of profound significance to me. If he knows the tiny little details, he knows the big, huge, important stuff as well. Here's what else that tells me. The fact that the very hairs of our head are numbered, that tells me that God is watching our lives very closely. Because true or false, that number, that's a moving target, isn't it? Like for guys like me, like I used to have wavy hair. Now my hair is waving goodbye, right? So I'm keeping God busier than I used to keep him, as he's keeping a running tally every day of how those numbers are rapidly decreasing. But if God knows at any given moment the number of hairs on your head, that tells me he is watching your life closely. And he's aware not only of facts about your life, but he sees what is happening on a daily basis in your life as well. He is aware of all of it. So just think about this. This is how God sees you. You are his masterpiece. You are the pinnacle of his creation. He knows your life. He knows every detail of your life. In fact, the Bible tells us that God put more thought into you than he put into any other part of his creation. I mean, think about this. Of all of God's creation, some of the stuff that we say, that's amazing and that's awe-inspiring and it's beautiful and it's incredible. Those things that we look at and we're amazed by, you know how much God paid for those things? Nothing. The only part of God's creation he paid anything for was you and me. And he paid the highest price imaginable for us. That says we are incredibly valuable to him. That's how God sees us. How does God want us to see him? Well, in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer, he said something that was amazing to his listeners. He said, when you pray, pray this way, our Father in heaven. That's how God wants us to see him, as our Father. Not some faraway creator who placed us here on the earth and then left us to fend for ourselves. Not some angry deity stomping around heaven, eager to shoot lightning bolts out his fingers at us every time we mess up. Jesus said, here's how I want you to see him. He is a father. And yes, sometimes he disciplines us. And yes, sometimes he corrects us. But always, he loves us. He is not distant. He is not far away. He is here. God is closer than you think. And he wants to hear from you because you matter to him. See, that's the motivation for prayer. Not to get something out of God and not to try to convince him to do something that he doesn't want to do and not to make him happy because he's angry with me. I think if we stop looking at prayer as something we have to do and start looking at it as something we get to do, I think things would change. If we stop looking at prayer as a discipline and instead saw it as an invitation, I think prayer would come much easier to us. It's kind of like when I talk about the importance of going to church and the importance of reading the Bible. And I do that often. You hear me say that often, that, you know, as far as church, come consistently. Don't just show up once in a while. Make this a priority and be here on a regular basis. And when I talk about reading the Bible, do that often. Read the Bible daily. Dig into God's word. And the reason I say those things is not this legalistic, you better do this or else. The reason I say those things is because I know how much we need those things in our lives. Like, for me, reading the Bible, I read the Bible not only because God says to, he does, and that needs to matter, but I read the Bible because there's life in this book. There's wisdom and there's guidance in there. When I open the pages of God's word, I hear his voice speaking to me, and I receive wisdom and guidance and direction and correction, and I need that from him. The same thing is true with going to church. I attend church not only because God says to, he does, and that's important, but another reason I attend church is because it's my job. I'm the pastor. No, I'm just kidding. Just want to see if you're still paying attention. The reason I attend church is because I need it. I need community. I need to have a family of people that I can meet together with, to learn together and grow together and to celebrate God's goodness together and to worship together. I need that in my life. So when I talk about things like reading the Bible and praying, it's not a thing of you better do this or you're not a good person. It's a thing of I know how important those things are and how valuable they are. And the same thing is true with prayer. Don't look at it as a demand. Look at it as an invitation. Let me just give you a couple of examples. Hebrews chapter 4 says, let us come boldly before God's throne to ask for help in times of need. Now, I could look at that verse as a demand, right? So God demands that I come before him every time I have a need and ask boldly for help. And if I don't do that, God's going to be really unhappy with me. I don't think that's the way that verse is intended. I don't think it's intended to come across as a demand. I think that is meant as an invitation. That's amazing that God invites me to come before him, to be bold with him, to be honest with him, to talk to him about those things that matter to me and to hear what matters to him. That's an amazing invitation. Another example would be in James chapter 5. James says this. He says, are you going through bad times in your life? Then pray and ask God for help. Are there good things happening in your life? Then pray and give thanks to God for those things. Do you have sickness in your body? Then pray and ask God to heal you. Now, I could look at that as a demand, right? I better talk to God about every need I have. I better thank him for every good thing, or he's going to think I'm ungrateful. I better pray every time I sneeze or cough or, you know, have a cold or something like that. I better pray about those things, or God's going to be mad. I don't think it's meant to come across that way. I think it's an amazing invitation that God gives us where he is saying, no matter what's going on in your life, good, bad, or in the middle, you and I have an open invitation from the God of the universe to talk to him about it. To talk to him about those things that are happening in our lives, to have a conversation with him about those things that concern us and those things that matter to us, and to know that it matters to him too. That's an amazing invitation. And one more example, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer. And he taught his followers to pray. And a part of that prayer, it includes a lot of things, doesn't it? There's a lot of stuff covered in the Lord's Prayer. It begins with me recognizing who God is, that he is my Father, and that means he loves me, and he's my Father in heaven, and that means he's powerful. So I start by recognizing who God is. But it also includes asking God to forgive me for the things I've done wrong, asking God to give me strength to forgive those who have sinned against me, asking God to help me overcome those habits and temptations and addictions that I really want to overcome, asking God to provide for my daily needs, and then asking God to help me join him in his mission so that my life has an impact. That's a lot of stuff included in that prayer. Now, I can look at that prayer and say, that's a demand. God wants me to make sure I pray about every single one of those things every time I pray, and if I don't, he's going to be really unhappy with me. I don't think that's the way it's intended. I think we look at that instead as an invitation that God invites us to talk to him about those things in our lives that we struggle with, those things we're concerned with, those things that matter to us. God invites us to come before him, recognize him as a Father who loves us and who cares about those things that we care about. That is an amazing invitation he gives us. And over again throughout the Bible, his invitation to you and to me is, come to me. And I think if we see prayer as an invitation instead of a demand, I think it comes a lot easier to us. So today, I want to encourage you to begin two simple practices, if you're not already. To start two simple practices, here's the first one. First thing in the morning when you wake up, before you get out of bed, before you drink your coffee, before you do anything else, have a conversation with God. Doesn't have to be long, doesn't have to be complicated, just something as simple as this. God, thank you for today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me today to honor you with my words and my thoughts and my actions. Use my life to point others to you. Amen. Just something as simple as that, having a brief conversation with God, first thing in the morning, before you get out of bed, before you have your coffee, before you do anything else, have a conversation with God. Here's the second thing. Last thing you do at night before you go to sleep, have another conversation with God. Again, it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be complicated. Just something real simple like this. God, thank you for today. There were some good things that happened in my life today, and I thank you for those things. Help me tonight not to worry about those things that didn't go so well. Guide my thoughts and guide my dreams, and give me good rest so I have a good day ahead of me tomorrow. Amen. So start your day with prayer and end your day with prayer. Very simple. Do those two things every day and see what God does in your life. Just start there. I'm not asking you to do something really complicated or super disciplined. Don't do the thing of, okay, I'm going to pray, so I better set my alarm for 3:00 in the morning, get up at 3:00 and pray for 4 hours. Don't do that. You're going to wear yourself out and it's not going to keep going for very long. Do something you know you can do. Have a conversation with God first thing in the morning. Have a conversation with God last thing at night. Here's what's going to happen. Over time, you're going to find yourself talking with him throughout the day. As good things happen, God, thank you for what just happened. And as trials come your way, God, help me to get through this. See, if you start your day with prayer, and if you end your day with prayer, then here's what's going to happen. An ongoing conversation throughout the day with this Father who loves you and who knows you. Having that conversation as part of your everyday becomes a part of your normal life. And it will change your life. And who knows? Maybe next time you won't get pulled over for driving so fast. So God, I thank you that your invitation to us is to come to you. I thank you that your word shows us over and over again, and we all have stories of this in our lives, of how you answer prayer. You hear us. What matters to us matters to you. And I thank you so much for that. Father, help us to be people who see you as our Father, who loves us and who knows us and who is involved in our lives. Help us to make that decision every day, to have a conversation with you, to invite you into the everyday stuff of everyday life, and to recognize your presence and the things you're doing in our lives. And we thank you for what you're going to do as a result of that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. One more thing, and then Bailey's going to come and lead us in a closing song. As we talked about prayer today, the most important prayer that anyone can pray, if you've never prayed this prayer before, the most important prayer you can say is to say yes to God. Jesus came to this earth and died on the cross, and he rose again from the dead. And the reason he did that is to pay a price for my sins, for your sins, because he knew we can't fix that ourselves. And so Jesus took upon himself the punishment that we deserved so we wouldn't have to. And because he did that, he offers us forgiveness, new life, a brand new start, the promise of heaven if we receive that gift. Most important prayer anyone can pray is saying, God, I receive your gift. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I believe in you. Give me a brand new start. If that's a prayer that you need to pray today, I want to encourage you, come and talk with me. Dan is right here. Sheila's right there. Dwight's over there. We would love to talk with you. We would love to answer any questions you have and serve you in any way that we can. But that is the most important prayer any one of us can pray. If you've never prayed that prayer, make this the day that you welcome him into your life and allow him to change your life. Bailey's going to sing our closing song today. We're going to join him. This is actually a prayer that we are praying, not for ourselves, but for each other. The words are in your handout. Let's stand together and let's sing.